Are you feeling well this morning? Are you feeling good this morning? Do you have good feelings? A few days ago, Brother Dave McGee, one of our elders, came by and talked with me for a few minutes and made some suggestions that might be used in a sermon. The lesson this morning is a direct result of those suggestions. We're talking about the subject of feelings. We use that word in our vocabularies. We talk about a person's feelings being hurt. Someone else is said to wear his feelings on his sleeves. It's not unusual for us to ask the question sometime during the day to another person, "How are you feeling?" And yet, that word's just not in the Bible very much. In fact, I'm not for sure that the word feelings in the plural sense is in this book, at least in this version that I'm using. The word feeling is used in the passage that Chris read a few minutes ago, where it says that Christ can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. The word feeling is also used in Ephesians 4:19 when he talks about those who are past feeling. Perhaps we need to think for a few minutes this morning about the subject of feelings. Our feelings are involved. Our conscience is said to either accuse or excuse us. Romans 2:15. Even in our relationship to the government, as described in Romans 13:5 and 6, we are told that we are to obey not only for wrath's sake, but also for conscience's sake. Our feelings are involved. Back a few years ago, I worked in an area where the majority of people based their assurance of salvation on their feelings. It was not uncommon for someone to say, "I know I am saved because I feel it right here." I remember having had that said to me several times. I even remember one person particularly saying, "I'd rather have my feelings than a stack of Bibles when it comes to the subject of salvation." We have opposed that attitude, and I think rightly so. We have said that it is possible for one to feel good about something and not be right. And all of us perhaps have experienced that to some degree. At that time, and ever since that time, I have preached that we do not determine whether or not we are Christians by our feelings. But folks, I'm afraid we may have overreacted and let the pendulum swing too far in the other direction to where we do not count the importance of the right kind of feelings. In some instances, people have swung so far that they are past feeling, past letting the conscience play its vital role. I don't know and could not prove this, but I'm persuaded that some of those people who commit crimes against little babies and small children must have reached a point that they are near or past feeling. And sometimes in the church, those of us that are Christians have allowed ourselves, I think, to believe, maybe subconsciously, that if we feel good about something, maybe it's wrong. I know that I've heard the person especially who was talking about a diet say that if it tastes good, spit it out, and if it feels good, don't do it. And maybe that first one would be helpful to some of us, but I'm not for sure the second one is. Are we going to overreact to the idea of proving our salvation by feelings, that we just don't have any feelings at all? And we think if we feel good about something that that indicates that what we're doing is maybe to some degree bad? I read recently about another culture in another country on the other side of the world. And I was impressed with what they said about the teaching that they give basically to the young girls. They are taught that as they grow up and marry, that they are not to have any good feelings, not to have any pleasure in the marriage relationship. And if they do, it is wrong. My Bible teaches that back as early as Sarah in the Old Testament, Genesis 18, that she was talking about the pleasure that she enjoyed in her relationship with her husband. Good feelings. And I find Proverbs 5 saying, in the words of the wise man, that the man is to rejoice with the wife of his youth, and it even goes to the point of saying he is to be ravished with her love. Is not that having good feelings and feeling good about having the right kind of relationship? Let's stop and think about some observations relative to feelings this morning. First, we admit that we are not to prove that we are Christians by our feelings. You show me one person who says, I feel good about being a Christian. Another one says that they may not agree at all on what's involved in being a Christian. We do not prove our salvation by our feelings. Paul understood that. He evidently felt good about persecuting the church. He had good feelings about bringing people back to have them put to death because he thought he was right. But though he felt good about that, he was wrong. He is the very one who tells us that we are to prove all things, to hold fast to that which is good, as he wrote to the church at Thessalonica. John added in 1 John 2:5, whoso keepeth his word, in him verily the love of God is perfected, and hereby know we that we are in him. He said we are to prove by his word that we are Christians. We do not prove that we are Christians by our feelings. There are those who are not Christians who at least tell themselves that they feel good. But having said that, I would hasten to add the next point, and that is that we ought to learn to feel good about what we know to be true. We don't prove the truth by our feelings, but we ought to learn to feel good about the things that we know to be true. If we take this book and we understand what God tells us to be a Christian and we've become a Christian, cannot we feel good about that? We know what he tells us to do to worship. We come together in a service such as this. Our main reason, of course, is to praise God and worship him. But should we not be able to conduct ourselves when we worship that we feel good about worshiping God and we feel good when we've finished worshiping in this service and leave to do other things? We don't prove our salvation by our feelings, but folks, we need to learn to feel good about the things that we know. Here is where we may have a problem. In third place, I suggest to you that we need to learn to feel good about self. Self-esteem is so important. Now we are warned in Romans 12 not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think, and certainly we don't want to be stuck up. We don't want to boast. But if you and I are created in the image of God, ought we not have good feelings about that? And if I am doing what I can to serve God in a reasonable way, can I not feel good about that? I think I can. It may be that one of the reasons that we don't feel as good about ourselves and have the good feelings that we should is because we do too much comparison with other people. And we spend too much time trying to be like somebody else that we honestly don't take the time to consider who we are and what we are and what we can do and feel good about it. In fact, I think what is happening today, March the 29th, 1998, is a classic example of that. Today, our elders have challenged us to give extra and to do what we can to meet a certain goal. When this service is over, will you feel good about what you have done? If you have prayerfully considered this challenge and you have put some thought into what you can reasonably do, and I underscore that word reasonably, I think it's important, And whatever you give this morning, you give it with a cheerful heart, believing that it is reasonable, maybe a little bit of sacrifice involved. Whether or not it is as much as what somebody else gave, or only a small portion of what somebody else does, or is more than what somebody else does, doesn't really matter. I suggest to you that you can feel good about what you have done and are doing if you're trying to do what's reasonable, what is your best, and doing it with the right attitude. We can feel good about ourselves. We don't need to feel guilty. Oh, there are times perhaps when we do, we need to feel guilty about sin. There's that attitude of guilt that's necessary for us to really turn to Christ and receive forgiveness. There is a place for guilt. But if we just spend our time reaping guilt feelings or heaping guilt feelings upon one another and causing people to feel guilty, that's not going to help our lives if we stop at that point. We need to learn to feel good about ourselves and to fill our hearts with good feelings. I further suggest to you that we need to learn to have good feelings in the valleys of life as well as on the mountaintops. I'll have the opportunity on Saturday to assist Laura Waller and Tony Dreiling in being married. Somewhere in that ceremony, I will probably ask them to promise that I will be faithful in good times and bad, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health. You and I took vows like that if we're married. And yet, can we not in our married relationship have good feelings even when there's sickness? Even when there's a degree of poverty, even when the times are the bad times and not the good times, oh, we may not feel well. We may be sick. And we may not even feel good. But we can have good feelings. And we can keep our feelings on a positive level even in those valleys of life, as well as when we have the mountaintops. If we have the right relationship with God and with Christ. And another point that's a twin, I suppose, to that one is that we need to learn to have good feelings about little things. Oh, if I had $1 million, I'd feel good. You need to learn to feel good about the dollar and a quarter you got. Oh, if I could hit all the home runs like Babe Ruth did, oh, what great feelings. You're just capable of hitting a single and you hit one. Feel good about that. We need to learn to feel good about the things that we can do, though they may seem to be little things. One of the problems, as I perceive it, with what was called a few years ago the Crossroads Movement and then the Boston Movement, has to do with trying to get people, particularly women, to get out of their houses and get out there and do personal work. One particular case with which I'm familiar was somewhat like this. The preacher told this woman who was married and had 4 children, "You ought not to be so concerned about cooking a meal for your husband and being there with your children. You need to get out and go door to door and do personal work." Now, folks, we need to do personal work, and we need to go door to door, and I guess all of us need to do a little more maybe than we're doing. But we need to realize that a woman, for example, who is cooking a meal for her family and taking care of her responsibilities there and changing the diaper on that baby is just as important as some other things. And if you are doing things like that, you ought to be feeling good about it if you're doing it with the right attitude and for the right purpose. And I guess if you can feel good while changing a diaper, you can feel good under almost any circumstances. But we need to learn to have good feelings about the little things in life, daily living. And I suggest to you that there is a type of good feelings that we can have even when we don't feel well and we even don't feel good about the circumstances. This afternoon, I will conduct the fifth funeral that I've had this month. Never had that many in one month before. Three of them were our members, Susie Johnson, H.C. Christopher, Ann Larson. The other day, just a day or two before Brother Christopher died, I was in his hospital room and stood there watching him struggle for a breath. I didn't feel too good, but boy, did I have good feelings, because I thought of all that man had meant to me. All the times we had worked together and done things together over the last few years. My feelings were good because of friendship and because of what I believed him to be, and even though I realized death was just a few minutes perhaps in the future, that we could feel good because of the promises that we have. Friday of this past week, I drove to Gamaliel, Kentucky, and conducted the funeral service for a friend of mine that we had been preaching together and working together on and off for over 30 years. 54 years old, had a massive heart attack. He was also the principal of the elementary school in Gamaliel, and we conducted his funeral in the elementary school gymnasium. Hundreds of people together. As I stood up to talk on that occasion and looked over at his widow in her early 50s, I knew she wasn't feeling good, and I knew I wasn't. When I looked out and saw those students that had just lost their principal, people in the church there who just lost their preacher, I knew that the people in general weren't feeling good, but oh, did we have good feelings because of the decent, honest person that he was and the service that he'd given to his God and his community. Even in times of death, we can have good feelings. When I walk into my dad's room now and see him like he is, I don't feel too good, but I have good feelings because I'm determined not to remember him as he is now, but to remember him for those many, many years that we shared. And if things go according to schedule and Dad dies, I anticipate conducting his funeral. I don't expect to feel good, but I expect to have my heart filled with good feelings. And I won't be ashamed if there are some tears, but I believe that those tears can fall down over a heart that is filled with appreciation. And I think when we have those difficult times, we have those valleys and those times in life that are not so good, that we can still have good feelings about the overall process. I've thought of this even through this year with our ball teams at Freed Hardeman and at Chester County High. There have been some ups and downs. There have been some times that we didn't feel too good about what was happening on that particular occasion. And yet, as we back off and look at the whole scenario of the situation, we can have good feelings. And I think these young people ought to have good feelings about what has been accomplished. We need to be concerned about having good feelings. I think we can sum up what we're saying this morning with three words, all that begin with the letter A. We ought to feel good about being able to do something. Whether or not it's what somebody else can do doesn't matter. But being able to do something in the Lord's kingdom, I believe the two-talent man felt just as good as the five-talent man. And the one-talent man could have if he'd conducted himself right. We need to feel good about our accomplishments. Sometimes the accomplishments of another person seem to be so little. When one of my grandchildren brings a sheet that he or she has colored, doesn't look very good, very much to me, but oh, they're proud of it. We need to feel good about our accomplishments when we are accomplishing something with what God has given us. And we need to feel good about what we sang about in that last song, our assurance. Because, you see, it doesn't make any difference what happens. We have the assurance of God, not just based on our feelings, based on the facts. And we know even if somebody were to come in today and kill us, Terrible things are happening around us, that even if that were to happen, nobody can kill the soul. We have God. We have Christ. Because of that, we ought to be able to feel good, at least have good feelings about life. Because we're able, because we can accomplish, and because of our assurance. If you don't feel good about your situation this morning spiritually, maybe you need to do something about it. Maybe you need to be baptized into Christ so that you can be where you can have good feelings in your relationship with Him. Or if there's something that stands between you, negligence, or you haven't lived as you should as a Christian, get your life right so that you can leave this building today and you can feel good as a Christian. Maybe problems, maybe difficulties, but you can have good feelings because you're holding on to the Savior. If you're not, come as together we stand and sing.
What a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His smile quickly drives it away.